You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The Patriotic Millionaires also purchase advertising time on various Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3 o'clock, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. This week, we have been talking to begin the week all about labor and working people, and I'm so excited to be joined by the OG of the PMs, the original guy from the Patriotic Millionaires, one of my favorite guests for this segment, Morris Pearl. He's the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, and previously, Mr. Pearl was a managing director at BlackRock, one of the largest investment firms in the world. He had a long tenure on Wall Street, and we're here to dig in to how we should be structuring this economy so that it works for working people. Welcome back, Morris. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, great to be with you, Maggie.
Let's just jump right in. Last week, the big news from an economic perspective was the longshoreman strike, of course. Could have shut down our nation's ports for quite some time. JP Morgan estimated it would cost about $5 billion a day from the U.S. economy. Looks like we've averted that disaster for now, but it was about an issue that we've seen over and over and over again, and that is the corporations were making record profits, and the workers came to the table and said, let me share in that. And that's really the centerpiece of your book that's coming out this December, Pay the People, Why Fair Pay is Good for Business and Great for America. And so let's begin there. How should companies balance corporate profits and worker pay? What's your answer for that?
Well, look, I mean, to paraphrase Winston Churchill, capitalism is the worst possible system, except for every other system that's ever been tried.
Right.
However, the free market does not always work for labor. We did have a totally free market for labor in the past. President Lincoln ended that with the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. Now, putting aside the details of the longshoremen in this particular dispute, which has a lot of details here and there, when one large employer can monopolize the employment opportunities for the whole community, that employer has an advantage that capitalism and the free market and Adam Smith's invisible hand cannot deal with. We need to have regulations, just as we've long recognized that we have regulations on electric utilities. There's probably only one place you can get electricity. They could raise the prices, and you pretty much need electricity to get by. So our states have laws about regulating how monopolists like the electric company work. We also need regulations on how people who have monopolies in the labor market can work, both employers and unions. And those need to be regulated. We need to have the society make some rules, not just the rich and powerful making the rules. And so, yeah, that's the answer.
And we do that by voting. I mean, we do not have a direct democracy. Our choices are presented to us in the ballot boxes. And I think, you know, there has been a lot of consternation about, listen, people feel like they are getting left behind, that they keep working harder and they don't get ahead. And my response to that has been, you're right. That is what's happening. But the solution isn't more tax breaks for billionaires, millionaires, and the largest, most profitable companies. It's we've got to fix the way the tax system works. We've got to fix the way wages and working conditions are regulated. Specifically, we've talked about the fact that worker productivity goes up but we haven't seen a corresponding increase in wages. So where's all this money going? If corporations have record profits and worker productivity is going up, who's taking all the money from all those record profits and all that increase in profit productivity?
The word productivity means how much stuff is produced per hour of labor. Total amount of stuff divided by total number of hours, that's productivity. It's going up. That means there's more value being produced per hour of labor. Now, the thing is, though, that the total amount of value includes corporate profits, which you just said 30 seconds ago are going up at record highs. That's part of the numerator of productivity. So that's exactly it. The total income includes the billions of dollars that investors and people like Elon Musk that owns Tesla are making. So yes, the total income of everyone in the country has gone up a lot, but most of that increase has gone to a tiny number of people who are the investors and the owners of these businesses, like Mr. Musk, and people who invest in the stock market like me. We're making a lot more money. So if you average us all out, yeah, the average income of the country has gone up. But if you only look at the 99%, it's not really gone up much at all. And that's the problem, is that all of the increase value has gone to a tiny number of people at the top, and very little has gone to the actual people who work for a living. It does not trickle down.
It trickles up. Two questions about that. The first one, perhaps the most important, which is why? Why is it that we've seen over these last 20 years that this massive increase in income is only going to the top 1%, and all of us, everybody else, including me and everybody listening, is getting left behind?
Because people have voted for their elected representatives on the theory that, oh, we need to reduce regulation. We need to let the rich get richer so that the values will all trickle down to everyone else. They've somehow accepted the idea that the way to be successful is to appease the rich and famous people. You know, it's like what Donald Trump said in The Apprentice, you have to treat celebrities special. And people have believed it. They've been saying it since Ronald Reagan in the 1980s, that, oh, if you make the rich people get even richer, that will, I don't even know what the next rest of the sentence is, but somehow help them. And then it doesn't work. If you make the rich people get richer, what you get is richer rich people. If you want to help people that work for a living get richer, you should send money to people who work for a living, not the very rich. Money does not trickle down. Money trickles up. Every time you pay your iPhone bill or your mortgage payment or something, people like me who invest in Apple and invest in banks that make mortgages get a little bit richer. And that's how I can just sit here and look at my computer while you have to work for a living and I'm getting richer.
Now, when you say send money to working people, you don't mean handouts. Oh, my goodness, that word, right? What you're talking about is increases in wages and benefits, investments in public education, in infrastructure. When you say investing or sending to working people, what do you mean by that, Morris? Well,
what I mean could be reducing their taxes so that they get a bigger paycheck to take home through like things like the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit, doing things with those. That would be nice. That could mean increasing the minimum wage. That would be helping a lot of people. The act we've been promoting, the American Stability Act, involves increasing the minimum wage and decreasing people's taxes for minimum wage workers. It could involve things like that. It could involve changing the rules so that unions are allowed to organize people more easily. And then the people can demand higher wages from their monopolistic employers that control the labor markets. Those are the kinds of things that frankly can make America like it had been when I was growing up. and give my children and grandchildren the kind of opportunities that I had when I was young.
What do you say, Morris? First of all, but just a real basic sort of level setter. Does the data show what you and I are describing here?
Yes. Yes, completely. Since 1973, the top 1% had 9% of all the income in the country. Now it's over 26%. As a percentage of the income in the country, they have tripled their share. The bottom group, the bottom fifth, their share has gone from like 4% to 3%. That's like a 25% decrease in the relative share that the people at the bottom have, where the people at the top have tripled their share. And yeah, huge amounts of wealth have moved from people that work for a living to people who inherit money for a living and invest it.
And just another data point related to the longshoremen, the shipping industry raked in a record-breaking $400 billion, with a B, billion dollars in profits since 2020. By some calculations, that is an 800% increase in their profits. That is profits. That is not gross revenues. That is profits. So 800% increase, and you had the longshoremen union saying, we would like a 70% increase, a 75% increase in our wages. And I think they settled around 65%. I think that's still an absolute steal for the corporate overlords with their 800% increase in corporate profits. My very special guest this half hour is Morris Pearl, the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, previously managing director at BlackRock, one of the largest investment firms in the world. He worked for a long time on Wall Street. He's the co-author of Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Richer. How do we fix this? I know we've got to get out and vote, but if somebody out there is listening and they think, Donald Trump's good for the economy, I'm going to vote for him again. Donald Trump sent me a tax refund. What do you say to somebody who's thinking that?
Well, sure. I pay less taxes after the Trump tax cuts in 2018 too.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if I was voting based on how I would make more money, sure, I'd vote for Trump every day. But no, I don't want to vote based on me making more money this year. I want to vote based on my children and my grandchildren having the kind of opportunities that I had. And
that's the difference. That's the difference. We're going to have to come back just after a couple quick messages here. That is Morris Pearl, board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, my very special guest on today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
What is up, Wisconsin? How you doing, everybody? I'm so excited to have the OG of the PMs, my very first guest on this segment, Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, Morris Pearl. He's the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, worked on Wall Street for a long time. He was a director at BlackRock. He's written a couple of books about how to restructure our economy so that it works for the middle class. One of those books is coming out this December. It's called Pay the People, Why Fair Pay is Good for Business and Great for America. Morris, just before the break, I wanted to ask you to clarify a little bit. I asked you if someone's listening, and I should make this clear, if someone's listening and they work for a living and they're thinking Donald Trump's good for me, what do you say to that person?
Well, first of all, Donald Trump is a lot better for the rich people and the high income people than it is for the people who are actually working for a living. I mean, sure, you may be doing okay, but a huge amount of the wealth of our country has been shifted from the people who are working to the people who are investing and owning businesses and companies. I mean, I can say it's that the tax cuts that took place in 2018 are very good for me, but that's not what I'm voting based on my own personal benefit. And I just to clarify, having a high income is one thing. Being rich is an entirely different thing. People can get income going up and up and up, and they pay more and more and more taxes. And our tax system could be more progressive, but it is kind of progressive. But the really rich barely pay any tax at all. Yeah. I have a lower tax rate on my income than you do.
Yeah.
And it's because we only have an income tax in this country. And if you're really rich, you don't need any income. So we have to make fundamental changes if we actually want rich people to pay taxes. And it's not just raising their tax rates. It's changing the way we run the tax system so that people who make money pay some part of that money in taxes. And we don't have this narrow definition that income means money from your paycheck.
Yeah,
that gets deducted every week.
Income is anything that increases your wealth by a dollar, and why we treat different dollars differently continues to be a mystery to me. I want to take out one of our callers here, Morris, because I think they queue up one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Hey, Billy, what do you have for Morris? What was your comment or question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Referring to your conversation about, you know, people having difficulty keeping up and the kind of idea of monopoly employers. You know, I'm not working for the corporate overlords. I'm in public education. But, you know, I don't know if everybody understands that because of Act 10, you know, teachers can ask for, districts can give up to the consumer price index.
Yeah, so what Billy is asking for, I just want to jump in here to translate because Morris might not be familiar with Act 10. In the state of Wisconsin, we limited public employee unions to only be able to bargain for a cost of living increase. The general question that Billy points to is what role does organized labor play in fixing this problem of how wage earners, those that work for a living, are treated?
Well, frankly, it should play a bigger role than it actually does. Just as an employer can say, oh, I'll pay what the market rate is for this labor. Well, the employees should be able to say, we want to be paid the market rate for our labor. And there's no reason why unions, which are just groups of employees bargaining together collectively, should have more constraints than employers have. I think that unions need to be able to bargain on behalf of their members and make the same demands for a group of members that an individual can make for his own employment.
Yeah, the restrictions around public employee union bargaining in the state of Wisconsin are draconian, to say the least, right out of the billionaire handbook in this case. A follow-up question. What is the proper role? What role should the government play in fixing this imbalance between corporations and workers, both from a wage labor perspective and a tax perspective?
Look, when a worker applies for a job with a big store like Walmart or an airline or a big company that makes cars or something, generally they're told what the wages are for that job and they can take it or leave it. And because of the size of the employer and the employee has very little bargaining power, but having a union can make the difference. A union can go to the worker, then go to the employer and say, we represent all of the employees. And then they have more or less equal a bargaining power. One employer, one group of employees. And unions should have more of a role. They used to. And frankly, America, a lot of Americans were doing a lot better back in the day when unions did have a much bigger role.
Jack from Merrimack, be quick. We only have about a minute and a half left. What's your question for Morris?
Well, you hear people that are not in favor of taxing the rich saying, but you're trying to redistribute wealth. Well, isn't it true? We are already redistributing wealth. It's just...
If you could, Morris, we've just got a little bit of time. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, a huge amount of wealth has been redistributed since the 2017 tax laws from people who work for a living to the very wealthy investors. And yeah, I would like to see a little more distributed towards people who work for a living, people who spend their money, people who buy stuff, people who contribute to the economy, as opposed to just people who want to sit there and watch the balances in their accounts get bigger, which doesn't really help the rest of us.
Just to put a fine point on my most fine guests' concluding statements here, remember, in 1973, the top 1% took home 9% of this country's income. But today, the top 1% take home 26.5% of this country's income. That's the redistribution of wealth away from working people to the billionaire and multi-millionaire class. Thanks so much, Morris. It is always a pleasure to see you, my friend. That's going to do it for today's installment of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom Salvia and I are going to tear it up when we come back after these brief messages. You're not going to want to miss Speaker Mike Johnson on ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Dom and I discuss.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Morris.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're trying to get maybe a little older together, but definitely wiser together here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome one and all. It is Monday at 3:30, and so I am joined by my good friend in broadcasting, Dom Salvia, who's got the fantastic show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Dom. It's nice to have you.
Hey, Maggie, good to be with you. Thank you for having me. It is always a pleasure.
Folks, if you want to join Dom and I, we're going to be chopping it up. I had a few like screaming at the television experiences yesterday. I listened to try to listen to most of the Sunday morning talk shows, and I happened to catch Speaker Mike Johnson on ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos, and wow. So folks, if you want to join Dom and I, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All topics are open and the phone lines and text lines are open. My thanks to Billy and Jack from Merrimack, Scott from Madison, Steve from Milwaukee, and Mark from Prairie du Sac for shooting in some texts over the first hour and a half of the show. But let's dig in. Folks, we're going to listen to a goodly bit of sound here because with each additional sound, it gets more ridiculous. Literally hair on fire. Oh my goodness. Let's kick it off. We're going to take cut one here. This is 3.1. I'm just going to call them out. We're talking just the George Stephanopoulos sound, Aaron. Let's go with cut one.
Over the past 8 years, those who want to stop us from achieving this future have slandered me, impeached me, indicted me, tried to throw me off the ballot. And who knows, maybe even tried to kill me.
They tried to kill him. And it's because the Democratic Party, they can't do anything right. They can't do anything right.
Authorities have found no political motivation connected to the gunman. Since the attempt on his life, the race has transformed. President Biden dropping out, Harris closing in.
Wow.
Okay, so they're blaming Democrats for trying to assassinate Donald Trump. Like, literally, the Democratic Party. So let's see what Speaker Mike Johnson has to say about that. Cut two.
And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Mr. Speaker, thank you for joining us this morning. In the wake of the assassination attempts on Donald Trump, you urged all sides to tone down the rhetoric. So is it right for the president and his family to suggest that Democrats are behind the effort to assassinate him?
I just saw the clip. I was at an event in Texas last night, so I didn't watch all the remarks from Pennsylvania. I will tell you, I talked to President Trump right after it, and he was pleased. They had a massive crowd there and a lot of enthusiasm and energy, but I didn't hear all the comments. I don't know the context.
I love this. They all go to, I don't know the context. I'm sorry, what exact context do you need, Mr. Speaker? The former president and his kid just said that Democrats tried to kill him, which is a lie.
We've heard these kind of excuses before, Maggie, right? Like, oh, I didn't read the president's tweet. I have no comment on that. I don't know what he was talking about. We've been dealing with this for years.
It's such garbage, and it's enraging. This is so important. You don't think it might be important to know the context, Speaker Johnson? It gets worse. Cut three, please, Aaron.
And I don't know what more context you need. Here's exactly what Eric Trump said. They tried to smear us. They came after us. They impeached him twice. And then, guys, they tried to kill him. They tried to kill him, and it's because the Democratic Party, they can't do anything right. What more context do you need? Do you support that statement or not?
George, I'm not going to parse the language of what people say at rallies. I could give you pages and pages of crazy comments by the leading Democrats in this country. That's not what this is about. We have to talk about the greatest collection of challenges that this country's facing probably since World War II, maybe the Civil War. Let's put all this political nonsense behind us and talk about how we get out of this mess. And I believe the way we do, and I believe a large number, the majority of the American people understand, you have to put steady hands at the wheel. You've got to put President Donald J. Trump back in the White House because he will bring stability back.
Steady?
He will get the economy going again. He will restore our stature on the world stage at a time where we're facing almost on the verge of World War III. You have got to get his leadership back in the White House. That's why the massive crowds are drawn to these rallies, and that's why I believe we're going to win in November.
Isn't that rhetoric the kind of political nonsense you're talking about?
Look, we're in an election cycle. This is a silly season, as they say. We're in the 30 days out from the most faithful election of our lifetime.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, first of all, Speaker Johnson, I know you listen to this show. Oh, please produce those pages of things that Democrats have said, because none of them are anywhere near as insane as the crap that comes out of your mouth, every MAGA co-conspirator, and the former MAGA president and his lackey kids. For shame. Yes, there are serious challenges. That's why you cannot have a crazy man in the Oval Office. But it gets worse. Cut four.
So it's very clear you're not going to condemn the basic suggestion the Democrats are behind the assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
George,
I want to ask you another question.
There are so many. Please, anything.
Well, you have the opportunity to condemn it if you want.
You can condemn it if you want, and he doesn't. Cut five. This is the very next thing Stephanopoulos asks.
I do want to ask you a question that Senator Vance did not answer at this week's debate. Can you say unequivocally that Joe Biden won the 2020 election and Donald Trump lost?
See, this is the game that is always played by mainstream media with leading Republicans. It's a gotcha game. You want us to litigate things that happened 4 years ago when we're talking about the future. We're not going to talk about what happened in 2020. We're going to talk about 2024 and how we're going to solve the problems for the American people. I think this game that's played all the time, I'm not going to engage in it. We're not talking about that. Joe Biden has been the president for almost 4 years.
Your guy's
Everybody needs to get over
it.
This and move forward. That's what we need to talk about. What happens on November 5 and the days after that?
So,
man for us to talk about.
So like Senator Vance, you cannot say unequivocally that Joe Biden won the 2020 election and Donald Trump lost?
George, I'm the Speaker of the House. I work with the President of the United States all the time.
So answer the
Joe
question.
Joe Biden has been the president for 4 years. There's not a question about this, okay? It's already been done and decided.
There is
and this is a
question.
Gotcha game that's played, and I'm not playing it. I want to talk about the future. Let's talk about policies. Ask me anything you want on any challenging issue. Let's put that out there for the American people. That's what they need to hear.
Well, it's President Trump who every single day, former President Trump, at just about every rally is saying that the election was rigged, that he won, and that Joe Biden lost. I'm just saying if you accept that or not.
George, I'm not going to play the game. Ask me any question on any issue that's facing the country. They're some of the biggest issues that we face. How about another hurricane headed toward the country? How about
Israel
being fired upon by Iran? How about the rising crime rates that have everybody alarmed around this country?
Why?
The cost of living because hardworking families can't afford to do it.
What?
He's not going to answer the question. Again, it is your candidate, sir, who continues to say this at his rallies. This is current. These are current events. It is your candidate and J.D. Vance who could not acknowledge the loss in the debate. This isn't Kamala Harris bringing this up. This is the Republican megas and your leading candidates bringing it up.
Again,
of course it's a relevant question.
Here's why it's relevant. Cut six.
Mr. Speaker, the reason it's relevant is because of what former President Trump says at every rally. He's also laying the groundwork to challenge the results this year if he loses. Let's look at this.
If I lose, I'll tell you what's possible, because they cheat. That's the only way we're going to lose, because they cheat. They cheat like hell.
Is that what you believe? The only way that Donald Trump loses is if the Democrats cheat?
Donald Trump's going to win. I'll tell you that election security is a major concern of the American people.
Wow. Just to recap, the Speaker of the House of Representatives will not condemn the Republican candidate for president saying that the opposing party tried to assassinate him. He will not condemn it. The Speaker of the House of Representatives will not confirm that Joe Biden won the 2020 election. And the Speaker of the House of Representatives will not acknowledge that Donald Trump is a threat to the peaceful transition of power, something that he says every single day. It is mind-blowing to me. I fully feel like I guess not mind-blowing, but like it just newly enraging. And by the way, if you haven't watched this interview, folks out there, if you're listening, go ahead and watch it, because you can see Speaker Johnson's like cheeks start quivering by the end, because he knows that he sounds ridiculous. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dom, taking that as a whole, which is shocking, your reactions?
It is bizarre world, and it's amazing how, you know, we talk about the bar getting continually lowered, and it seems like we continue to grab a shovel and dig deeper. It is absolutely relevant. We're still dealing with the ramifications of the riots and insurrection on January 6th. You talk about cheating. Well, that's exactly what Donald Trump did and his cohorts and their conspiracy with the fraudulent electors. And we can see in the sentencing of like Tina Peters from Colorado most recently, 9 years.
9 years.
For playing around with election machines, using a badge, letting other people get access to this. Yes, they are very well aware of the circumstances because they are very much involved in them. And of course,
they are the circumstances, right? I mean, they are the election insecurity. Yes. They are the election fraud. Sorry to interrupt.
Of course. No, of course. But that's why, people are very concerned about it. Well, why is that, Mike? Because you keep bringing it up and you keep saying without proof that and you will not condemn your candidate for saying the only way I will lose is if they cheat, if the Democrats cheat. You will not condemn the fact that he and certainly his son saying, well, the Democrats tried to murder him because they can't do anything right. I mean, and we are going to have an election next month, and we are going to have a transfer of power. There will be a new administration one way or the other. And it is absolutely relevant because we have not gotten to the bottom. We have not litigated the fact that Donald Trump was up to his eyeballs when his supporters were attacking the Capitol. That case goes to trial next month as well.
This is the problem, and the frickin' Speaker of the House won't address it squarely. When you say the only way I will lose is if they cheat, what you're saying is we needn't have an election. It is the language of dictatorship and authoritarianism, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives will not condemn it. It is infuriating. There is more. I'm going to go through a couple of the reasons why right now is much more dangerous than where we were in 2020. Folks, you're not going to want to miss any of that. We want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Robert from West Dallas, you say what, sir?
I think it would have been really powerful if Stephanopoulos literally just cut his mic and said, you know, you're not going to say anything else until you answer the question, and maybe even turned his screen off. I think the ratings would have been tremendous, and I think it would have made a lot of people pay attention to the hypocrisy and the lies and the nonsense with these people. We need to stop playing games with them. That's how we got where we were on January 6th. We just let the lies go on and on and on, and we saw the results, and I think it's only going to be worse next time around if people don't stand up and say enough of this.
Couldn't agree with you more, Robert. This is the sane washing. This is, I mean, Stephanopoulos was finally following up, wouldn't let him change the topic. And you saw Mike Johnson withering under that. Watch the video. He gets more flushed. He's stumbling and bumbling. He's just throwing out the talking points. Crime is down, period, full stop. That's the fact. Mike Johnson is a liar and a co-conspirator in Donald Trump's decision to try to overthrow democracy this year. Shame. Wisco Paul, you say what, sir?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Maggie. Good afternoon, Dom. Hey, is this a bridge too far? We have less than 30 days, I think, to the election, and he's losing right now. But they're talking civil war. What happens in civil war? People die or it's violent. So am I, hey, this is kind of spooky for me. I don't want to be an alarmist. I don't, but this rhetoric is civil war, period.
It is, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. We've laid the groundwork with that interview from Speaker Mike Johnson. Dom Salvia joins me for this special Monday installment for the last hour of the Maggie Dawn Show. You're not going to want to miss me and Dom stitching it all together. We come back on the flip side of these important messages here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. If you're on the phone, stay there. More to come. Always rooting for the anti-hero. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Dom Salvia with me, helping me out for this Monday show. My hair was lit on fire this past Sunday because Speaker Mike Johnson has failed every single one of us in every conceivable way because he has lost his sense of duty, of reverence to the Constitution. Shame on him. And here's why, and Dom, I want to get your reaction to this. If you think it's bad now, if you think it was bad in 2020, it is far, far worse. And here's why. One, Donald Trump is way more desperate than he was in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You can hear the drums. You can hear the march. He knows that his day in court is coming. He knows Jack Smith ain't quitting. And while the Supreme Court may be in his pocket, there is still a piper to be paid, and Donald Trump is desperate. Everyone in the MAGA cult expects him to win, thinks it's the only outcome. They don't hear any contrary information. They only listen within the bubble. Today, Donald Trump has more lackeys in place, more infrastructure in place, and the entire political party that used to be the Republican Party is conditioned to acquiesce, to bend the knee to his every most grotesque and base whim. Four, he's going to get the GOP-controlled legislatures to try to overturn the results, obviously. They did it then. Now they actually have a playbook. They're ready. It won't be something they're trying to figure out on the fly. They know how to do it. Oh, and how do we know that? Because five, they have already flooded the zone. There are over 400 lawsuits challenging various aspects of our electoral processes across the country. Thank God that the Wisconsin Supreme Court doesn't look itself like a MAGA cult, except right, for those other four. Six, in a way that we have never seen before, it is misinformation and lies every day. The floodgates are open. All they do is lie. Mike Johnson lied. Crime is down. He lied about it. Hurricane relief? Mike Johnson isn't the one who, he's refusing to call the House back into session to increase aid. Donald Trump diverted aid from FEMA in 2018 and diverted it to his border fight. What are they talking about? Seven, Trump has greenlit violence. He promises pardons to the January 6th insurrectionists. He talks about fight, fight, fight. It is an explicit endorsement of an armed civil war. That is what's happening. So Wisco Paul ain't far off. And why is all of this much more dangerous? Because there's no outcome except Donald Trump in the White House that anyone on that side will accept. That's the difference. If the votes show that Donald Trump wins, I'll be angry and pissed off, but I'll accept the outcome because I believe in our democracy. That is the key difference. At the end of the day, there is one outcome. Otherwise, they're threatening all of us with violence and civil war.
Again.
Again.
Again. Still continuing, right? I mean, if Donald Trump gets in office and does these pardons, he'll have his own little private army, right? And he'll be able to, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his political rivals. You don't think a deranged man like Donald Trump, an old deranged man like Donald Trump, wouldn't do something like that in the tail end of his miserable life? I have no doubt. I have no faith in the man. None whatsoever. A few things on this. I believe they did make some legal changes to the vice president's role in accepting the slate of electors, right? They buttoned down some of the loopholes that these attorneys thought they could push through in their efforts in the states, in Wisconsin, Arizona, and so forth. So that's I think that's less of an issue. The straight up lies, and this is what really gets me. When you say a straight up falsehood that can be proven statistically by the same numbers that you would take a few years ago, oh, they're great, inflation's up, inflation's down, and then you just totally go against that with no, and none of your followers are pushing you on it. They're just going to believe everything you say. How can you have an argument? How can you have a discussion? How can you work on legislation? How can you govern when you cannot agree on what is up and what is down?
It's an insanity. And just this fact, folks, and I want this to sink in. Last week, the Public Religion Research Institute found that 1 in 4 Republicans support political violence. Research published last week has made it clear that 25% of Republicans support political violence.
Terrible. Terrible.
Democracy doesn't work where it's like only our side wins or civil war and Armageddon. That's the opposite of democracy. Democracy is we count the votes. Right. Everybody gets to vote if they're legally entitled to vote. And Democrats don't need to say that people who are not citizens aren't entitled to vote because that's not the way.
Well, and let's not forget how the president and vice president reacted during with these assassination attempts. I mean, it is almost daily that President Joe Biden says political violence has no place in our society. He says it over and over, time and time again. And so if you are so concerned as Republicans thinking, well, you keep saying that Donald Trump wants to be a dictator. Well, that's what he said. I'm just repeating it. And therefore, you're endangering his life. Well, then you're assuming that, you know, words have power. So maybe you shouldn't say that Haitians are eating pets. You know what I mean? Maybe you shouldn't say that Joe Biden is pilfering FEMA, because those things are not true. If you're so concerned that words have meaning and power, maybe you should check your own.
Kurt and Mark, sorry we didn't get to you, but I bet Dom will. He's next up with the Dom Salvia Show. Thanks, little buddy, for joining me.
Thank you, Maggie.
Our special Monday segments. I'm Maggie Don. That's going to do it for me here on the Maggie Don Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it's always better when we stand together for democracy.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.